Two small town girls living in a big city, chasing even bigger dreams. Meet your hosts, Kylie Benami and Sophie Longford. These two high fashion models have discovered that life outside of their hometowns isn't so simple. Talking all things fashion, wellness, fitness, and all of the messy things in between. Here we go. Welcome to The Not So Simple Life.
I love it.
Hey everyone, and thanks for tuning in to today's episode with our very special guest, Lisa Haim. Lisa is a registered dietitian with a master's degree in nutrition and exercise physiology from Columbia University.
Lisa helps her clients achieve food freedom and provides them with the timeless tools to never fall for a diet again, and most importantly, equip them with how to listen to their body. Let's get right into it and get this amazing episode started.
Hello, hello guys. I hope you're all having a beautiful day wherever you are. If you are a regular here, then you know the deal. Kylie and I will be getting Lisa on the show very, very soon. But first, it's time for a quick little catch up on each other's not so simple lives. So Kylie, talk to me. What is going on over there?
Well, I just got back in town from a bachelorette weekend in Scottsdale. Ooh, that was fun. Crazy. I've been recovering for days. I also just got a notification on my phone this morning with a photo from July 22nd of last year. And it was you and I recording for the first time. Aww. I was in Aspen. You were in Switzerland. It's like, how has a year gone by already? That's crazy.
That blows my mind. I have no idea where a year has gone. It's really weird. Well,
yeah.
In my world, I am a new dog mom. I decided to foster a 5-week-old abandoned puppy. And of course, after just 3 days with the little thing, I realized that I was stuck with him now. So there's no turning back. I'm completely in love.
What did we name that sweet little pup?
He's called Casper, like Casper the ghost, because he was found in a graveyard.
Aww.
He's the cutest little thing. I'm absolutely obsessed. We wanted to talk a little bit on here about flight tips, because I hope you guys saw Kylie's flying tips on Instagram about how she prepares for flights, because she had so many good tips and tricks. So be sure to check that out on story highlights.
I want to preface this as well. So when I'm on my way to wherever I'm going, so my first flight of my trip, I'm always on it. I do extra skincare, extra supplements, extra CBD. Like, I wear the perfect outfit. I do all the right things. Like, I'm so organized. And then on the way home, I'm just like a hot mess. I'm like, oh, do I have a vitamin C in my bag? Nope. Okay, no vitamin C. I'm like, oh, good. Here's a CBD pill. Like, let me just take that. Like, I'm so unorganized on my way back. But I think it's really, really important to take extra care of yourself on a flight, because so many things can happen. You can get fatigued. You can get bloated. You can get dry skin, you can get like headaches. There's so many different things. So Sophie, how do you prepare when you take these long haul flights from Seychelles back to New York?
Well, I know I should take more care when I'm flying, but I'm a little bit of a nervous flyer. So I always decide to just like get wasted and make a little bit of a party out of it, which I know is the worst thing to do because you feel so crap when you land. But to minimize that post-flight hangover, what I figured out works wonders is a couple hours before landing, I will take an ibuprofen with lots and lots of water to rehydrate to prevent the hangover before it even starts. And then I'll take my hangover cure supplement concoction and drink a very strong coffee, and it fixes you right up. But I do like to take care of my skin on flights though. I love a good sheet mask and an amazing facial oil because it makes me feel like super refreshed and plump. And yeah, I just feel much better when I'm taking care of my skin because it's so dry up there.
Well, in terms of alcohol, that's one of my rules. Try not to drink on a plane if you don't have to. You literally will dehydrate yourself so much more, and the plane is already dehydrating you a ton. And if you are going to also drink coffee or anything with caffeine, that will also dehydrate you. So make sure you're hydrating with tons of water. My rule of thumb is one bottle of water for every hour. And I like to add electrolyte powders into my water because, you know, just that little added boost of hydration. And then skincare, back to hydration again, you have to lube up the face with skincare. So like Sophie said, a facial oil instead of a moisturizer, do a facial oil. It'll penetrate deeper and add that extra moisture for that dry, dehydrated air. And I love to keep like a little mini face mist in my bag and constantly mist throughout the flight. And like you said, when you land, That's when you got to take any extra precautions. So for me, I have my coffee right before I land because first of all, I sleep better on the plane when I'm not all hyped up on caffeine. And then second of all, if I drink coffee the whole flight, again, back to hydration, you're just going to dehydrate yourself the whole time. So I drink a big coffee, and I like to put Simply Inulin powder in my coffee as well, because your digestion slows down in the air. So a coffee with a little bit of Simply Inulin will get your body moving.
Yeah, I avoid anything with gluten in it when I'm on flights, because I don't know about you, but I feel like I get extra bloated if I eat something bad when I'm flying compared to when I'm on the ground. Like if I eat a big sandwich on a plane, I'll be so uncomfortable for the rest of the flight. So I completely avoid it. And also a probiotic isn't a bad idea when you're flying as well.
True. And bring your own snacks. I don't know if you guys knew this, but for the food to stay fresh on the plane, they put extra salt in it.
Even more dehydrating.
Exactly. So bring your own snacks, your own healthy snacks.
Exactly. Well, if you want to see more on Kylie's flying tips, then go to our Instagram page. It's all on there, and she's got all the videos and photos for you from her recent flight. But enough of that. Let's get Lisa on here. She's got such amazing stuff to talk about today. So I think we should just get right into it.
You guys are going to love this episode. Let's get this started. Hello, everyone. We are joined by Lisa today. We're so excited. Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be with both of you.
Yes, we cannot wait to get into this. So why don't you start this off by just introducing yourself and telling us a bit about what it is you do in the wellness world?
Sure. So I'm Lisa Haim. I'm a registered dietitian and I guess kind of accidental influencer. And my passions, I've got a lot of them, but I guess most passionate about teaching people how to return home to their own inner knowing, their own wisdom, their own truth, whether that be applying it to food and kind of ending that drama that so many of us face around food, or just day-to-day living, which can, you know, wreak havoc on our minds. It's a noisy world to live in so many ways, especially with social media. I can't even imagine what my teens, early 20s would have been like if social media was around.
I know.
I mean, it was hard for me and it wasn't so noisy.
Right.
But just the constant influx of information that is constantly being thrown at people. I'm constantly just witnessing people struggling to find their way. And I am constantly just kind of sharing my own stories and struggles and what I've learned to help other people kind of find their way out of it too.
Mm-hmm. So for anyone listening who's not familiar with Lisa and her following and her community, she's got such a great group of people who are, from what I see, very, very loyal followers. And you've got this massive community all with, you know, like minds trying to just feel your best and like get out of your head. And before we get into all of these different things that you do, I was hoping you could share a little bit more about how there were some hard parts on the way to your journey and how it wasn't so pretty. Because I know some people may look at your page now and see like, oh, wow, she's got so many followers. Like these influencers have it so easy. Everything's handed to them. So I wanted to get into that a bit.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I know I'm sure as you have too, you've met people with huge followings. If you've ever had a conversation with any of them behind the scenes, nobody's ever like, yeah, this is easy. I've got it made in the shade. I honestly think that actually the bigger the platform, the harder it can even be to struggle with feelings of staying relevant, which is an impossible task of anybody, you know.
Totally.
I always give like a really random example, but like even like Beyonce, right? She's like Queen Bee. We picture her like, you know, living her best life all the time, but like she doesn't have a top record out at all times. We're not always talking about Beyonce. And so staying relevant, which is, I think, what a lot of humans are after, is a really big chase. And in the world of social media, where we're defined by followers or likes or views or whatever it is, when we're talking about numbers, it's never enough. And so it's a glass ceiling, right? Like you can just keep going and going and going. So that leaves most people with no time to rest, to say, I'm going to take a break here. Especially when a lot of these influencers are, you know, this is their full-time career. So creating, showing up every day, really, I think that you think that they have it so easy, but I think there's so much mental health burden that goes unnoticed in this industry that, don't get me wrong, there's wonderful opportunities being able to work from home from so many, to travel, to have access to, you know, amazing partnerships and communities, you know, whatever it is. But I think that behind the scenes of anybody, not just myself, you're going to find that it's just a human being. And it's important to remember that, I think, especially in the age of cancel culture, that that person is a human being too, and they're struggling and they're doing their best. And maybe they don't get it right all the time with all of their audience, but there's a human being underneath there. So in terms of my own story, like I said, like I kind of accidentally became an influencer. I've been doing this for so long, but I think the parts of my story that people have resonated with throughout the years has been sharing my human struggles, which all of us have, whether it's talking about mental health, depression, anxiety, disordered eating was kind of a big theme of my page, especially because that's my trade as well. I help people learn to listen, honor, and trust their bodies. And I was kind of talking about these things before we were kind of all talking about these things. So when I started to shift my business, so like I said in the beginning, I'm a registered dietitian, worked one-on-one with people. And as I got in the field, I realized that the way that I was coaching people, for lack of a better word, was not the best way. Everything I had learned in school, yes, it might have science and stuff to back it up, but I was living my life in a different way. I was starting to have freedom with food. I was experiencing incredible shifts in my body's wisdom. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I was working with clients who wanted to know what to eat, when to eat, and how much to eat. And I was serving that on a platter. But in my own life, I was taking that control back. I was deciding when I could eat. I was deciding how much I could eat. And I was really starting to play with this idea that, like, that there's good and there's bad foods. And I was watching everything in my own life really shift effortlessly. And it wasn't everything that I thought would happen when I let go of rules didn't happen. So everything that they told me that I needed discipline for, and I needed to have cheat meals and cheat days and all the different various diets or diet type things that I was on in the past, none of that was happening. I was finding peace when I finally let go. But at the same time, I was serving people something to hold on to. So that's kind of like, you know, when I started to witness my own personal shifts, put them on the internet, start talking about things that were going on in my head all the time about my body not, you know, being perfect and bloating and, you know, just all the things that we all struggle with, binging on the weekends and all the various food dramas that we all have, but we think are like we're the only person suffering. And that community started to flourish. People like, thank you for saying this. Oh my gosh, me too. I'm there right now. How do I get out? And so I kind of had two businesses going on for a second, where I had my Instagram community that like was my heart and soul and understood where I was, and I was teaching them on a very general level as I was learning and figuring it out. And then I had my practice where I was getting all sorts of people, but I was still serving them in the way that they quote unquote wanted to be served.
Amazing. Let's go a little bit deeper into listening to your body and how you focus on that. I want to talk about Fork the Noise and your mission to help people listen, honor, and trust their bodies. So can you share some of your past struggles that kind of led you to the place that you're at today that helped you come up with this Fork the Noise and what it really means?
Yeah. So like I said, I was playing with the waters of I don't have to eat this certain way. I don't need to cut out sugar today, gluten the next day, grains, whatever. You know, I was really starting to play with that. And I was experiencing information being sent from my body to my mind for the first time in, I don't know, since I was very young and food was very effortless. And what I was finding was when we leave our bodies to our own devices, they don't go for ice cream and pizza and burger, you know, all the foods that we're told that like we need to not eat and have these strict rules about. Sure, sometimes I would eat those foods, but when I did eat them, they were not eaten chaotically because I had permission to do so. And I was also being drawn to foods that were nutritious and wholesome and straight from the earth and all these like amazing things. So Fork the Noise is about teaching real tools to honor, listen, honor, and trust your body. And I call it a modern mindful eating practice because it involves mindfulness and reconnecting to your body's cues and being present with your food. But there's also a very modern component to it where it's not all about the food. You know, you girls live in cities, like you go out to dinner with your friends. You're not sitting there like slowly eating your meal, concentrating on every bite of flavor at every time, or I hope you're not at right. all times. Mm-hmm. Sure, there might be a time and a place to connect deeply to that experience, but ultimately our meals are, especially after the past year that we've had, are when we are having our moments of interconnectedness with other human beings, which is right. just as important to our health as what we're eating. So modern mindfulness is about teaching you how to connect with your body's cues, its wisdom, about what it wants, how much it wants, when it wants it, and trusting it to be your guide, which frees up so much mental space for you to be you, Sophie, you to be you, Kylie, and life changes dramatically. And everything that you think would happen doesn't happen. And all these new possibilities emerge because your mind is not so narrowly focused on food. Oh my gosh, what should I eat? How much should I eat? And then what happens when you do eat? I ate this. I can't believe I ate this. I need to go work out. You know, all the noise. That's why it's called fork the noise. All the noise that surrounds us about what we should do and the consequences can kind of get quiet for a second and we can reconnect to our body's wisdom.
So is there an aha moment that you can pinpoint in your journey when you decided to change? Or is there an aha moment that you try and help your clients find? And if so, what is that first step that you usually take or help your clients take after they reach that moment?
My personal aha moment came after a weekend of allowing myself to go at it. So have all the foods that I previously couldn't have had, drink at the time, I was in my early 20s, really just like, you know, do it. And on a Monday, I had a great weekend, it was a really fun one. And on a Monday I woke up and instead of placing down another rule, I heard something from my body and it said, greens. I want a salad today. And I was like, that's interesting. I could have just walked away from that experience, had a salad and moved on. But the wisdom there was that when our bodies are left to our own devices, they don't turn on us. They have our backs. They know what we need. We need nourishment and greens and fiber and nutrients and all that stuff. And they can be the most incredible guide of all time. And for me, that really changed everything because I think, you know, now again, people are talking about food freedom all the time. On Instagram, it's portrayed by, you know, eating pizza and ice cream and all those same examples, which mm-hmm. yes, it's great that we can eat those foods without the guilt. But the true like nuance to it all is that the body wants to protect us and it knows exactly what we need to feel really good and it's gonna guide us there. And I think even when it comes to quote unquote healthy eating, which is such a, who knows what it even means anymore.
Who knows?
But when it comes to eating foods that are rich in, you know, nutrients and minerals and from the earth and real foods and wholesome stuff, the body is designed to eat this food. So naturally it's going to guide us there. And it doesn't take all that willpower, all that force, all that discipline. And we also, I find, like it. We've been told that we don't like those foods, so that we have to force them on ourselves. Sure, maybe we don't like every food. Maybe, Kylie, you don't like kale, and Sophie, you don't like spinach, you know? But there are foods that your body likes, that works with your body, that feel really good for it. There's no one exact food, but we are designed to eat this food. Like we have enzymes and things in our body that perfectly break down these foods. So naturally we're going to be drawn to them. So that was my aha moment with everything for myself personally. And when it comes to working with people, I think it really takes figuring out where the person is at because we're all coming in from different places. But there needs to be real unlearning. That's kind of the first step that needs to happen is unlearning all the things that you think are true and breaking them down. And sometimes that can be exposure to certain foods. So eating this food only to see that it didn't make you tired, sluggish, whatever, da da da. It didn't make you gain weight even just by eating it this one time. Whatever it is, kind of unlearning a lot of it. So a big part of Fork the Noise is teaching nutrition, but teaching nutrition in a way that, first of all, has nothing to do with weight and really just has to do with how does this food work in the body? And so many people have that aha moment when they realize that so many things that they were cutting out, their body actually needs. Like carbs is such a, you know, infamously popular one of something we shouldn't have, or we shouldn't have a lot of, or da 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 da, you know, all the carb stories that you've ever heard.
Right.
But when you learn what a carb is from a scientific perspective, when you learn what a carb does for your brain, for your body, when you learn how easily it breaks down into usable energy, and at the same time, you're complaining because you're always tired, you know, it's like, wait a second, maybe you need to fuel your body with carbohydrates. Maybe they aren't the enemy. And unlearning and relearning, I think, are a critical component to that aha moment, because it really allows you to start separating health and well-being from just weight. And those are two separate conversations, sort of, that kind of got like clumped together at some point and left a lot of people very confused as to how to best take care of their body. And most of them feel like they don't know how.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does get really confusing. Are there like any noises or signs that our bodies might be trying to signal to us to make us more aware that something we're doing or eating is not right for us right now? Like, I know we've all got this intuition that we know when something is bad for us, but sometimes we choose to ignore it. And in terms of physical symptoms, I've learned that when my body is unhappy or I'm putting something into it that my body doesn't like, my eczema will flare up and I'll feel bloated and lethargic. So do you think that those are just some of the basic signs that everyone should look out for when trying to pay attention to their health and tuning into their noise?
So I think that you brought up really good points when it comes to eczema and bloating and physical real manifestations that are uncomfortable after eating a food. Not to say this is happening with you, Sophie, but for a lot of people, what they've found is that when they stop putting certain foods on a pedestal, whether it's that chocolate cake or that regular bagel or whatever, it's not that the food itself was causing that, but it was the way they were treating that food. So if you're only allowing yourself to have the chocolate cake, I'll just stick to your example for a second, you know, on this special occasion, you're putting it on this pedestal where when you eat it, you're first of all disconnected to it. You're not enjoying it as much because you're stressing about it.
Yeah.
But most importantly, what I see is that the volume of the food consumed is going to be higher the more special you make it. So again, this isn't for everybody. Some people have food sensitivities, some people have allergies, some people have, you know, autoimmune reasons to not consume certain types of foods. However, for a lot of people, it is the amount that you're consuming that is causing the physical symptoms, as well as possibly the quality of the ingredient. So things like dairy can range incredibly in the quality of what you're consuming, additives, hormones, gluten as well. Those are kind of the two things that I feel like people cut out and then they say they feel so much better and then they have it and then they have like all of it because they're like, I never eat bread, so now I need to have 10 bagels and now I'm bloated and now I'm this, you know, and that's like, of course, anyone's going to be bloated after eating 10, whether it's 10 cucumbers or 10, you know, bagels. But we lose our connection to the food when we have this idea that it's bad for us. On the other hand, when we're connected, I could have this chocolate cake any day. I could have this chocolate cake for breakfast. I could have this chocolate cake for lunch. I could have it at 10 p.m. before I go to bed. If you truly believe that, when you eat that chocolate cake, the experience changes radically because you are staying connected to that experience and it's just chocolate cake. And the craziest thing that I've experienced with sweets, where I was like the person that had the craziest sweet tooth, I would quote unquote, yeah, you too, Kylie, I would save my calories, you know, I'd rather skip dinner and just have ice cream, is I actually got to become what in mindful eating they call my own inner gourmet, where I actually am so much more of a savory person. Oftentimes I'll eat sweets and I'm like, oh, this is too sweet. Like, I don't even like it. And then there I was using all this willpower, all this calorie saving, all this energy I was wasting just so that I could eat these foods, only to learn that the real me is actually quite controlled around them, oftentimes doesn't like it, can really differentiate between, ooh, this is a good ice cream, this is a bad ice cream, you know, like, or not as satisfying to me, meaning. And there's really just feedback kind of happening at all times. So I think when it comes to you said, like, what's the first thing somebody can look for to you know, quiet their own noise or fork their own noise, is to start before you even get to the symptoms portion. Start asking yourself questions. Bring curiosity into the mix of, what do I want to eat today? And what would make this satisfying? We talk a lot in my, I have two main programs, Fork the Noise Fundamentals and Fork the Noise Hunger Fullness. Fundamentals is kind of like the basics of learning to listen to your bodies. Hunger Fullness is taking it up a notch, where we're talking about the signals that go hand in hand with hunger, which is more than just how you may be thinking of it now. It's just a desire to eat. And fullness, which is figuring out when to stop. And it's really important that we break things down into, like, multi-categories and consider satisfaction, not just physical fullness. So if you've ever eaten a food before, I'm sure you've been really physically full, but there have been times when you're not satisfied, where you could keep going, right?
Many times.
So the question is, right, when building out that meal, can you consult with yourself, what would make this satisfying? Not just physically filling. Do I want crunchy? Do I want smooth? Do I want hot? Do I want cold? You know, all these questions that you could be kind of asking yourself, but we don't, because we have an idea that at lunch we should have a salad. At yeah. breakfast we should have fruit on an empty stomach. At, you know, whatever the latest, especially, like I said, now social media is so noisy with the shoulds and the this and the that. And each time you eat is an opportunity to hone what's called your inner wisdom. So Sophie, like you said, like, if I know that eating this food makes me feel bloated, I'm gonna kind of earmark that in my mind. My students go through a little bit more of a formal practice to really track their symptoms and their enjoyment level and all that stuff. But take a note, oh, I didn't feel so good when I had that chocolate cake. Maybe you don't know if it was the amount of the chocolate cake or what, but going into the meal next time, maybe it's like, you know what? I think I'm gonna have just a few bites of this chocolate cake, because last time it didn't feel so good. But normally we don't carry any of that information with us that we take from a meal, because we're drowning in the, oh, I'm bloated, I'm so uncomfortable, I have to get to the gym tomorrow, I have to start that cleanse tomorrow, that we're not taking time to gather the information that can be extracted from every single experience.
We are going to take a quick pause to help all of you queens take your wellness routines to the next level. It is 2021 and we are leveling up with one of our favorite brands, Cured Nutrition.
Cured Nutrition exists to help people live their best lives. From their adaptogenic supplements to their balancing CBD oils, we know that they've got a product for each and every one of us. What are you looking to elevate in your life, Kylie?
For me, it's the Zen Sleep Supplement and the Rise CBD capsules that I've been taking down with my morning coffee. I have literally been sleeping better than ever and waking up feeling so refreshed since adding these Cured products to my routine.
Well, you know us, and we're going to make this real simple for you guys. Head on over to curednutrition.com and use our exclusive discount code for 10% off your entire order. Enter the code SIMPLE at checkout.
That's SIMPLE at checkout for 10% off these game-changing products. If you want to know why we love this company so much, be sure to tune in to episode 47 to hear our conversation with the founder of Cured.
We are leveling up, guys. Now, let's get back to this episode.
So just curious, I'm sure this is a different answer depending on who you're asking, but what does food freedom truly look like? We always hear this whole 80-20, eat healthy 80% of the time and, like, have fun 20% of the time with the foods you're eating. Do you feel like your life kind of mirrors anything like that at all now that you're truly free of these thoughts that used to hold you down?
I always struggled with the 80-20. I struggled with the eat everything in moderation. I struggle with all these things that sound really quote unquote balanced, but provide no tangible tools to them.
Yeah.
They're like meaningless. What does that mean? 20%. Okay. Does that mean that on the weekends, you know, that's not balanced if on the weekends look completely different from your Monday through Friday. So, you know, if I had to look at things in terms of a percentage, I couldn't, because I also don't have that label on foods like I used to. So if I eat a pizza, I'm not like, okay, one strike into the pizza category. You know, I don't see things like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't see time as a defined point. So I'm not like, oh, I was really good this week. Let's make it to the next week. Right. I see every moment, this moment to the next moment, as an opportunity to take the best care of my body.
Right. Okay, so that's the balance then, just not having that label at all.
I don't do well with labels. And again, if you're like, okay, well, I've eaten so much of this food, I can't have it again. You're again putting an outside boundary on what the inside knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we touched earlier on the perfectionism around social media and how everyone just portrays the best version of themselves. So I want to talk about how we are all our own biggest critic and all the struggles that come along with being your own biggest critic, because it prevents us from being our true selves. So can we talk a little bit about your radical transparency on social media?
Yeah, I think that my radical transparency on social media, I think that I have a radical transparency with myself offline. I think that's like where it starts. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good place to start.
I think it has to start there. I think that's why I stumbled when kind of saying that, is because in the last few years, again, I've been accidentally doing this for many years, but in the last few years, at least on my part of the internet, which might look different than yours, being vulnerable became trendy. I don't know if that's something that you guys have seen. You know, I know that your careers might have taken you in a direction where everybody always looks picture perfect. On my side of the internet, in like the wellness world or my version of the wellness world, I started to see a lot of people talk about their vulnerabilities. And while that's wonderful, and I host a whole podcast called The Truthiest Life, talking to people about the hard stuff, I think that, like I said in the beginning, not everything needs to be shared. And that's a personal choice, of course. But I think a lot of younger generations confuse sharing because they want to and because that feels good to them versus sharing because they think it will gain attention, followers, likes, claps, all of that. My view on being radically transparent doesn't mean that you show up every day and you show people your bleeding arm as it's bleeding. And I think that social media can be a wonderful way to heal, but I think that you need to be doing your healing outside of social media as well. And that, again, younger generations, I follow a lot of young girls who are going through their own eating disorder stuff. Sometimes I just wish that they would put the phone down and go into real life and experience that, because they're really very two different realities. For the person that's, you know, doing all of their healing online, I think that there's a lot of healing to be done in the real world through human interactions, going to the grocery store, picking your head off of the phone. So your question originally was about, you know, my radical transparency. And I think that over the last few years, I've gotten very real with myself by way of meditation. And I think people hear that word and they think a million different things. Like, you both of you are probably envisioning two very different types of meditation practices. Mm-hmm. And so when I say meditation, over the past year, I have used, not every single day, I can't do anything every single day. It's not me. I'm not a perfectionist. It doesn't set me up for success to be the person that meditates every single day. Right. But it has become a tool for me to check in with myself, not to go blank, not to bliss out, not to be hypnotized into a different trance of reality, but a time and a place for me to connect to that deeper, authentic part of myself that I am completely disconnected from a lot of the time. Of course. And a lot of us live in a trance where we wake up, we, you know, put one foot in front of the other, we brush our teeth, we eat this for breakfast, we continue on with whatever it is we're supposed to do. Unless we take a moment to be like, what do I really need today? We can't really serve ourselves in the best way. And so asking myself that every day has really, at least in the last year or two, especially being pregnant now, has brought up so many interesting things for me, especially because I feel like my ego has gotten a lot lower over the years. I mean, it always wants to pop back up, but
sure.
I'm really able to be transparent with myself, which doesn't always mean that I think I'm perfect. It means looking at my less than perfect parts and shining light on them and going there. And you mentioned the inner critic, Sophie. We all have that inner critic. And for a long time, I dealt with my inner critic by telling it to shut up. But actually, the inner critic has incredible information to share with us if we listen to it. Or if we listen to it in a different way, if we find out what's really going on behind it. Because oftentimes it might say things like, ugh, you look disgusting, don't wear that, right? That's what we hear. But what's really going on underneath that? So that meditation is kind of a tool to drop in, to not visit what I'd call the inner critic, but to find out what's causing that discomfort and then look at what that discomfort is causing me to project into the world. And then from there, oftentimes, the craziest part of what I've found in the past year is you find this part of yourself that's much softer. So I feel like I've just really changed who I am by accessing these vulnerable points, because so many of us are used to being defensive. Being snarky and sarcastic was like a big part of who I was for a very long time. Clapping back, you know, like just things like that was like who I was. And it was how I gained attention in real life and on social media. And people like that because they love to, you know, get behind a good clapback situation. But ultimately, that's actually not who I am. I'm actually much more compassionate to myself and other people. And that's who I want to be as well. So with all of that has kind of come a big step back from everything of just like, I just want to be a good person. That doesn't come with as much applaud. It's not as sensational as, you know, the things that I used to do, say, create, but I sleep better at night doing so.
Of course. Well, to circle back just to social media a little bit and just noticing things that, you know, can kind of bring you down or something that could be the root. I feel like social media is the root of so many issues that I could often deal with. Anywhere from like just jealousy or comparison or just like sometimes just feeling exhausted. You could feel so exhausted by looking on there all day. We know that you're a big fan of breaks. So could you kind of break down how you do your social media breaks? Is it more of an intuitive thing? Do you set a certain amount of days you're going to do? And like, how do you feel after?
So I've done different types of breaks over the last 2 or 3 years. My favorite type of break is called a phone-free break. And that is where I literally turn off my phone and I throw it in a drawer or put it wherever. That's it. It's actually not a full social media break or a tech break. Most of the times that I've done a phone-free break, I'm still working. So I'm still on my computer. I'm doing my emails. I'm working on my programs and, you know, stuff like that. Also, there's a lot of like things that made me able to do something like that safely in the past. I don't have children yet. You know, there's just like so many factors that have allowed that. But if you are at an age, at a place where you can actually turn your cell phone off, maybe not a full week, but a day or two, I highly recommend that practice. The first 24 hours are incredible because you start to, first of all, realize how reflexive it is to just grab your phone. Like you go to the bathroom, you grab your phone, you did it, you grab your phone, and how interruptive it is to everything. And you start to kind of struggle in the beginning, but so quickly, so much quicker than you'd realize, you actually start to forget about it. And there's like logistic things where you're like, oh, I need to get my password for this, or I need Apple Pay, I need this. But like you go back into like an old world for a minute and you have to get resourceful, and it's really fun. And most importantly, you start generating new thoughts. So Kylie, you said you're on social media and you're comparing yourself and there's jealousy, right? All of that is reactionary to what the information that you're taking in. Right. But if you were to take in less information, you would compute out more of your own thoughts. That's just the fact, right?
Of course.
But we are conditioned to pick this thing up, to scroll, to do this, you know, and in comes all those thoughts, those reactionary thoughts of comparison and jealousy and frustration and all of that. So that's my favorite kind of break. They're hardest to do, of course, but if you could do it for a day to 2 days, I think you really need more than 24 hours to really reap the benefits, but 24 hours, 3 days, ooh, you'll feel amazing. And then there's social media breaks in general, and those I've taken pretty intuitively over the last, the phone-free breaks require a little bit of planning for work telling people so they're not alarmed, you know, things like that. And you setting up your life however you have to not have a phone. Social media free breaks have been a little bit more intuitive. And like you said, just you get, as a creator, as I am, mm-hmm. you know, I get zapped from creating. I get zapped from all that information coming in. And I get zapped from feeling like I need to document this avocado toast that I'm eating or this ice, you know, this morning I put an iced coffee on my story. I'm like, you know, all these little things that we do, like, there's also something nice about not doing them. And totally. Just, you know, I'm just going to drink this iced coffee and nobody has to know about it. It's crazy. Well, you know, let me just do that. But the social media breaks are a little bit more intuitive and they can be for me. I built my business so that I do make a good portion of my income from, you know, branded partnerships, but certainly not all. It's not the most. And I don't want it to ever be the most, although it's, again, it's no judgment if that's what you do, you know, listener. So I like to really build a lot of freedom into my social media so that if I want to not post for a long time, I don't have contracts going on or, you know, things like that. But I'd say that the best things that I've done that I think anybody can benefit from are just having boundaries with your phone. And these boundaries are really hard to instill. So that's why the breaks kind of come in and they establish them for us. But the best thing that I've done this year that I would love to recommend to, I think, just about anybody would be to take email off of your phone. I know it's crazy. So wow.
That's yeah, a leap.
That's a big one.
Well, I don't know how your schedule works, the mm-hmm. two of you. So, and I obviously, like, I'm not a big, like, executive running around the city who needs, like, their, like, you know, phone on them to check this and that, right. you know, whatever. But I found that email was just another thing on my phone that I was checking in with at times that I didn't need to be checked in with. And it was that, going back to that original idea of, like, relevancy. Like, I was constantly, like, I'd go to the bathroom in the middle of the night where I keep my phone and I'd open up the Gmail app and I'd see what emails came in and then I would just know. But I wasn't actually responding to that email at that time or reading the email with intent. And I realized, like, I'm accessible by text, I'm accessible by phone, I'm accessible by DM, I'm accessible by email. Like, I am being energetically drained on all parts. This mm-hmm. And I'm doing it to myself. Like, this isn't like, you know, I have the ability to turn off the portals if I want to. And that was one that I turned off. I also, again, this is not possible for everybody, but I work, you know, for myself. But I also only check my emails Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I have an auto reply on at all times that says I only check my email Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And when I put this on, I was shocked at how many people were like, wow, I need to do this. I need to mm-hmm. do this. Well, I thought people would be more like, okay, you know?
Right.
And people were like, wow, I never realized that. And we are all energetic beings and we are being depleted in so many ways. So finding ways to restore your energy, not let it kind of get drained from you so fast, I think are just really, really important things. So yeah, your question about social media breaks, I don't think there's one right way to do it. I think that regular breaks are important, whatever regular means to you. I get drained, at least at this point in my life, pretty quickly and pretty intensely, which means I need to take a break frequently, whether that's, you know, taking a Saturday off or a week off or 6 weeks off I took, you know, this year. And it goes back to that question I ask myself, which is, what do I need today? And when you pause to ask yourself that, some days I find I can give today. I want to give today. I want to talk about all these things. And then other days I'm just like, ooh, we're not going to go on social media today. Like,
right.
you're zapped. You're not good. You're actually not going to show up as your full self. So you might try to give, but you're going to try to give, but then, you know, too much is going to be taken. So there's no one right way to do it, I don't believe. But I do believe that so many people are unaware of how badly they do need a break and totally. How okay, more than okay, they'd be without it.
Yeah, for sure. So we talked about draining energy. Let's talk about now how you raise your energy, because we are obsessed with your morning wake and shakes. So can you share with our listeners more on how you do this and what the benefits are of it?
Oh, you guys are so cute. So Wake and Shake was inspired by, I just finished my yoga teacher training about a month or two ago, and I had a great teacher, and she taught us this technique where you, it's kind of, I know this is a podcast, but you bounce your chest up and down and your whole body kind of starts going, and it's fantastic for the lymphatic system. So the lymphatic system is a huge detox system that we have, and it is passive. That's the thing about it. So the circulatory system, our heart, it pumps, right? Like the part goes ba-bump, 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 and blood flows through. The lymphatic system has these great tunnels and funnels that it goes through to release the toxins outside of our body, but it doesn't have that pump. So it moves slowly, it gets sluggish, it can get stuck. So the shaking helps to move it along. And I've always loved to dance like a lunatic, not like dance like a professional dancer. And I started kind of doing it every morning and calling it the Wake and Shake. And I learned that it's not just good for you physically, it's also good for you mentally. So you're also waking up the limbic system of our brain, which is the emotional center of our brain. And it kind of gets you out of this prefrontal cortex, the logic, and into this like place where things just feel good. And so it's kind of just this like physical, this emotional release. It's a tool. Just like I said, like everything, we kind of just need like a system to get out of it. You know, we can take fantastic care of our body by moving it, by shaking it, by having fun with it. So we started Wake and Shake Wednesdays, which I haven't done in a while because I got pregnant and then I was really nauseous. And then I just don't know about like bouncing right now. But for anybody who's not 8 months pregnant right now, you basically stand on your feet, spread your toes out wide and start bouncing your knees and kind of let your wrists go, let your knees go, let your breast tissue go. It's incredibly detoxifying for the breast tissue. And just move. Move however feels good. Put on a song that you really like and just reap the benefits of Wake and Shaking.
Guys, it's like amazing to watch. I need to do it myself because I get good energy just watching the Wake and Shake. So I can only imagine doing my own Wake and Shake how I could feel. So you guys definitely have to try this. But lastly, we want to get into products. We ask all of our guests this question. What are three products, gadgets, apps, it could be anything that you just can't live without right now?
Okay, I really love my air fryer. I don't know if you guys have an air fryer. Do you have one?
Ooh, yeah,
I do. I love.
They're huge, so I know they're not the best for like city dwelling, but at the same time, yes, like you'll kind of stop using your oven.
You totally do. I haven't touched mine.
Right, and it cooks super fast. It's really easy to clean. So I have like, I think it's called a New Wave air fryer. I really, really love that thing.
Okay.
I love my Hiram juicer. I don't know if you guys are like juice.
Mm-hmm.
Hiram juicer will change your life. It's super easy to clean. If you are going to invest in a juicer, I think that's the one to get. And this isn't really a gadget, but I think everybody should have a fantastic kitchen knife.
Okay. Oh my God. Love a good knife.
It changes everything from bread to tomatoes. Oh, you'll have a completely different experience.
There's some satisfaction that comes along with a good knife.
Yeah.
Anyways, Lisa, could you let everyone know where they can find you on social media, or if you have like a website handle that you want to share with everyone, just let them know where they can go and find you.
Sure. So Lisa Haim on Instagram, LisaHaym. And my website is probably going to be under construction for a little bit, but you can go to forkthenoise.com where we talked about most of the stuff that we talked about today, which is learning how to listen, honor, and trust your body.
And she's got a little baby on the way, guys. So go ahead and find her on social media and we will be following you very closely to see all of the update posts. We're so excited for you.
Thank you, ladies. It was so nice to see your faces and be a guest on your amazing podcast.
That episode with Lisa was so informative and amazing, and we hope you guys enjoyed it just as much as we did. If you are still here, we are now in our Q&A section. This section, we answered two questions that are submitted on our Instagram each week. Let's get this going. Number one, do you read nutrition labels? Okay. I do give a good glance to nutrition labels if I'm eating something that I've never eaten before or I don't eat often. But I look at ingredients more than I look at macros. So as long as the ingredients are clean, I don't mind if there's a ton of extra carbs or extra sugars. As long as it's clean, pure, nice ingredients, that's what I really care about the most. Of course, it's good to look at the macros and just like understand what you're putting into your body. But again, I think that ingredients are more important.
Yeah, I always read the ingredients. I don't really focus on the other stuff, but I always look to see, number one, if the product contains any of my allergens in it. And then number two, I usually check to see where sugar falls on the ingredients list. Because if it's like the first or second ingredient, that means you're literally just eating pure sugar.
Sugar.
And preferably I try to choose things that don't have any sugar in them at all, because there's literally added sugar in everything. So I think it's good just to be aware of it and to check your labels.
I know, and I like it to be like coconut sugar or something more than like pure cane syrup.
Also, gross. I'll avoid anything that has aspartame in it, you know, that like fake sugar.
Oof, but that's the addictive one.
Yeah, it's really bad for you. Anyways.
Avoid that.
Number two. This is for me. When is Sophie coming back to New York, and when will the next TNSS Life event be? Soon, you guys. Ooh. I am hoping to be back at the beginning of September. They don't make it easy with all of these ever-changing restrictions, so it's hard work, but I'll get back sooner or later. And in terms of an event, there's a lot more of that coming your way. When Kylie and I are finally back in the same place, there's going to be so many exciting things happening, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, for the record, guys, since we started this podcast, Sophie and I have never been in the same city. So we are so excited, and we will fully be able to take our podcast and our events and our photos and Instagram page and content. All of that will be so much better when Sophie gets back to New York and we're together. So stay tuned, and hopefully in the fall, we can put together a little event for you guys.
Anyway, guys, that is everything. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you can please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave us a little rating and review, we'd really appreciate it.
And you guys know where to find us on Instagram at the Not So Simple Life Podcast. Reach out with any questions, comments, concerns you have. Until then, guys, we will see you next Tuesday.